Warning! This is a high-speed roller coaster ride that includes sudden and dramatic acceleration, climbing, tilting, dropping, and backwards motion.
Hey everybody, it's Michelle with Coaster Geeks. On this episode, we're going to teach you how to summon the Wave God over at Volcano Bay, which is part of the Universal Parks in Orlando, Florida.
Welcome to the Coaster Geeks Podcast. Is your favorite the Beast, Millennium Force, or Lightning Rod? Whether it's an old Woody, a steel Giga Coaster, or a hybrid, we will chat about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forto travel the country and search for the best roller coasters. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome everybody. This is Robert Forto and you're listening to the Coaster Geeks Podcast, and we're going to talk about Volcano Bay at Universal Studios in Orlando. And I am joined today by my co-host Michelle. How's it going?
It's going great, Robert.
It is good to be here, and I'm looking forward to talking about your first major water park. I'm sure you've been to the baby type water parks. I remember going to one when we lived in Denver, but there was nothing like what we saw at Volcano Bay, was there?
Absolutely not. And I can't believe I waited 47 damn years to enjoy one.
This was a fun one. We were always paying really close attention to the weather, and our day was cut a little bit short, but we got in what we possibly could, and it was definitely a fun day. We bought the 3-day, 3-park pass for Universal, and this was our third day. And for folks that are thinking about doing this, I highly suggest you do get this 3-day pass. We did pay about $750 for this 3-day pass. It's quite expensive, but definitely worth it. You can see everything that you need to see in these days, but it's good that we saved the water park for last. Michelle, set it up for us as we walk into Volcano Bay. The first thing you have to do is jump onto a commuter bus, right? Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, totally weird, but Universal did it right. They have one parking garage system for all three of their parks, as well as City Walk. City Walk, if you're not familiar, is where there's a lot of bars, restaurants, there's a miniature golf, there is a movie theater, and there's a bunch of other shops where you can buy clothes and things like that. Not all park related, because City Walk is actually not part of the Universal Parks. It just happens to be bumped up against where they are. It's a portion of the property that is open to the public. You don't have to have a park ticket to go to City Walk, but you do have to pay that parking fee. Interesting little note, after 6 p.m., the parking fee drops significantly from $26 to $5, which is beneficial for those people wanting to enjoy the nightlife that has nothing to do with the parks itself. That being said, so you're parking at the parking garage. If you're going to go to Volcano Bay, they're going to direct you to a different side of the parking garage that gives you accessibility to these very large tour buses. You're going to get on the tour bus with a bunch of other people. Everybody smells like coconut oil and sunscreen. And you're going to ride about 2 or 3 miles over to Volcano Bay. Keep in mind, Volcano Bay walking distance is probably 3 or 4 miles from the other parks. So they're going to shuttle you over to Volcano Bay. You're going to get off, and you're not really in Orlando anymore, are you, Robert?
You aren't. You're in the islands for sure. It feels like you're in Hawaii or I don't know.
It's Hawaiian.
Yeah, it's Hawaiian, Polynesia. But the first thing you have to do is get the Tap 2 device. And I think this is a really cool way to operate a park. It's set up real similar to how most of the fast passes are set up, but this is a little bit more interesting. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But as you enter the park, a little bit of a tip, don't take advantage of the first set of lockers, or otherwise you're going to be walking all over the park trying to get back and forth to these lockers. And if you listen to our previous show about our adventures at Island of Adventure, I definitely took advantage of the lockers because I had a brand new iPhone that I had to replace just this morning because of my ride over at Islands of Adventure. So I wanted to take a little bit of care of my iPhone. But anyway, we jumped in and got ourselves a locker. We got changed and we went over to check out the reserve seating and the cabanas. And we thought, oh, it would be cool to, you know, kind of have a place to lay our stuff and just kind of relax. And the lady said, oh, we have cabanas for rent, but
the private seating is already reserved.
Yep. But we do have these cabanas and they're only $650 for the day, but we do have we do have open seating right here on the sand. And luckily we walked down there and we found seats relatively quickly right under an umbrella and we were set. And the first thing that we did is we jumped into the wave pool and all of a sudden we learned how to summon the wave god. Michelle, tell us about this.
Yeah, so back up just a little bit. When you do walk right into the park, it's very easy to get sucked into that first, what they call village, where the wave pool is. Because you're like, okay, it's hot. I want to get my spot. I'm going to get in the water. It's all good. That's the mistake, is the first thing you see is the wave pool. There are actually three villages within Volcano Bay. Each village has a different theme. Each village has a different main ride, if you will, and accessibility to it. So keep that in mind when you go. But to summon the wave god, you are singing this Ooka Booka song, kind of reminded me of the video game Crash Bandicoot. And you clap, and everybody grooves to it. Talk about Pavlov's little classical conditioning going on. Every kid in the park, as soon as they start to summon the wave god, runs, even though you're not supposed to the wave pool to get in the water to experience the waves.
Yeah, and I believe they do it twice an hour, so they have waves for a period of time, and then they have the calm waters of the pool. And if you've seen the commercials on TV for Volcano Bay, the wave pool is right below the huge volcano there. And to summon the wave gods, as they do, they're pounding on the island drums, and everybody's clapping and hollering and screaming. And after they do that for a little bit, they turn on the waves. And it's a lot of fun. It really puts you in the moment.
And that one guy.
Yeah,
there was... You guys had to be there to see it, to enjoy it. But there was this one guy. He got a little bit involved with the wave god summoning.
He had a great time, and it was fun to see the little kids just really having such a good time. And remember, these parks are designed to take you away from the everyday monotony of life. And this is exactly what's happening here at Volcano Bay. You're truly in a different world. So we spent some time in the wave pool and we were, you know, tooling around in there. Then we thought, okay, now it's time to check out these little fast pass tap two devices.
Well, they're not fast passes though. That's a key.
And that's what I'm going to talk about. So these little watch like devices, you have to go up to every ride that you want to ride. And of course at water parks, they're all water slides and that sort of thing. And the way that it works is at the entrance of every ride is a station, and you go up and you tap your little watch device on the circle, and it'll give you a time to come back. And the first one that we did was a couple of water slides, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. Michelle had a heck of an experience. But in regard to these tap two devices, it will tell you when to come back. And at this point, I think it said about 25 minutes, and I think this is a great way to do it, especially at a water park, because you get set up, you know, okay, well, I can come back in 25 minutes, and I know at that point I will be able to ride my ride. You're not spending all day in line. So we checked in for the water slides, and then we went over and got on the Lazy River. And this was one of our more fun rides. You jump on an inner tube and you just kind of float around the park on the lazy river. I really had a good time with this. What did you think, Michelle?
I did as well, but I wanted to make sure that everybody understands that the Tapu Tapu is for specific water slides. There are other water activities in the park that they want you to go and enjoy while you wait for your turn in line. So in other words, the Tapu Tapu is an ingenious device because you go mark your spot in line without having to stand there for 150 minutes. You actually are marking your spot. It counts down. And if you check your watch, your Tapu Tapu, it tells you, oh, you've got 10 minutes. Well, when you've got 10 minutes, you need to get out of the other area that you're in and get over to your ride, because that gives you exactly the amount of time to go get in the line with the other probably 15 people that had the same Tapu Tapu time. So it was efficient. It moved you through the experience in a much better fashion.
So what did you think about the lazy river?
So I could have spent the whole damn day there.
It was fun, and it takes about, I don't know, 15 minutes or so to work your way around the river, and we had a great time trying to stay on the inner tubes. I had
no trouble staying on my inner tube.
I had a really good time, and it's definitely a way to spend the day in the park. So we jump in line for one of the water slides, and we chose to ride the Hona Ika Mona, which is the turtle
ride.
Hey,
good job.
Yeah, and I do not speak Hawaiian whatsoever. And remember, this was Michelle's first big time water slide. So we went up to the top, and
when he says big time, you guys, it means that I had to climb more than one flight of stairs.
Yep. So we get up to the top, and this is set up as a four-person raft, and it's all about weight and distribution. So we jump on, and luckily we only had to go as a pair, Michelle and I, and Michelle got to ride down looking down this slide, and I was sitting in the front, and of course I was looking backwards. So I was traveling down the water slide without being able to see anything, and I had no idea what was coming, and Michelle was screaming and hollering and having a great time. What did you think about your first water slide?
You know, I thought it was a whole heck of a lot of fun is what I thought. I could have done that three or four more times as long as I was facing forward. I tried my best to tell you when turns were coming and when to hold your breath and stuff like that. But yeah, it was totally a blast. Still wondering why my parents didn't let us go to water parks when they started coming out in the 80s in California. I felt totally disadvantaged by the fact that I had to wait till I was my age now to enjoy that.
So the next thing we did is we headed over to the Fearless River. And before,
this is a non-Tapu Tapu experience.
Yeah, this was one of the rides that you did not have to use that. But on the way, we stopped in and we checked into our next water slide. And I think we had like a 15-minute wait or something like that. So we decided to jump in the Fearless River, which is an entirely different experience from the Lazy River. This is like you're surfing whitewater rapids. You jump in and you put on a life jacket and you're literally...
It's required, you guys. The life jacket is required. That's how you're floating the Fearless River.
Yep, and you are cruising, and they have certain spots where they're turning on the rapids, so the waves are really rocking and rolling. And we went through one time, and Michelle was wearing a life jacket that was a little bit too big, so we decided to
get... No, it was a little bit too tight.
A little bit too tight. So we decided to get out and get her the next size up, and that was way too big. And since we were already in...
So much so, you guys, I nearly drowned.
Yep. So once you get in with the life jacket, you pretty much have to go all the way around the circuit. And she had a heck of a time with this extra large orange.
Thankfully, though, I have experienced whitewater rapids.
Yep. So,
in my day, and I could handle it just fine. But once we did get back around, I went ahead and got on a life jacket that was in between the two that I had already worn, and the experience was much better for me. I will tell you, though, there are lifeguards probably about every 15 feet. There was a lady going around with me at one point when I had on the jacket that was too large that they released the rapids. It's pretty much class one, class two, and then when they release the water, probably about the same time they released the wave god, the rapids go up to what I would consider class three rapids. And this lady was drowning. They jumped in, got her out less than 10 seconds.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, it was extraordinary.
They did a great job, and they were really on their toes. And you have to commend all of those youngsters there that that take jobs as lifeguards, because they were truly working over there in the Fearless River.
Yeah, in the Fearless River, they were working.
I loved the Fearless River. I liked it more than the Lazy River. I had a great time. I probably could have spent all day there.
You kept practicing your wilderness first responder techniques.
Yep, the Swiftwater Rescue. After that, we jumped on another water coaster, and this was a little bit different than the first one. In this one, you had to go down by yourself. And again, this is Michelle's second water ride, so she didn't know exactly what to do, and we had to carry the pretty large rafts up.
They were double inner tubes.
Yep, we had to carry them up several flights of stairs, and Michelle unfortunately had to go before me, and I think that freaked her out a little bit. And then the gal up top said, "You have to sit in the front of this double inner tube." What do you think about that ride?
So that was actually our first ride. Yes, it was. That was actually our first ride, and because I was completely freaked that I wasn't getting to ride with you in the first place, and I wanted you to go first so I could watch you to see what I should be doing, because when you've never experienced something, it's always nice to see what somebody else is doing. But then I realized after I went, I couldn't see the person that went ahead of us anyways to see what they had been doing, because they separate you out for good reason, so far apart. But I got to go first. Fun, exhilarating, scary. And at the end, my inner tube popped out from underneath me before I got to the edge of the pool. And the lifeguard in the pool saw it happen and immediately grabbed my hand to pull me up and out and asked me if I was okay. Well, she startled me so bad that I took in water and was choking, which I was like, I'm okay. So they're right there on top of you. It was a good experience, but definitely I know that you only have about a split second to hold your breath before you get splashed into the water.
Yeah, I really like this ride, and unlike Michelle, I grew up with water parks. We used to go to Myrtle Beach every summer when I was a kid, and that was the height of when all of these water slides and you know, theme parks based on water rides really opened up. So I grew up riding a lot of these, and it really took me back to my childhood. It had been, you know, 30 years since I'd been to a park like this, but I really had a good time on some of these coasters. The next ride that we attempted to ride was the water coaster, and we checked in with our little tap-two device, and it said 150 minutes. So here we were, almost 3 hours of a wait to get onto the water coaster. So we thought, okay, well, it's still early in the day. We will go hang out at the wave pool and ride some other, you know, the Lazy River and the Fearless River again. Now, one piece of advice on the tap-two advice device, once you check in, you have to stay checked into that ride. So if you go up to another ride, you are no longer checked into the ride that you want. So here we were stuck with 150 minutes for the water coaster, which was something that we really wanted to ride. And right about the time,
we had seen the reviews for it. Yep. And it was let's just put it this way, it's like a log flume on crack.
Yep. So we waited, and then they had a weather delay. And remember, this is Orlando in the summertime.
So everybody's out of the water.
It stopped our countdown, and then right at the time that it was our time to ride the water coaster, we had walked up the stairs, we were all checked in, and right at that moment, we're
third in line.
We were third in line, ready to get on the coaster, and there was a mechanical error. And oh my goodness, we waited all this time, and look, the weather's coming in, hopefully we get to ride, and just a few seconds later, it started thundering and lightning, and they pretty much closed down all the rides. So we went and talked to the ride attendants, and they said, well, you can stay here, and if the weather clears, you will be first in line. But at this time, we had already waited about 3 hours. It was already 5 or 6 o'clock. It did not look like the weather was going to pass.
It was the worst storm day in the whole first week we were in.
Yeah, it was bad. So we decided to say, well, you know, we really wanted to ride the water coaster, but it just didn't work out that way. So we headed back over to City Walk after a full day at the water park, and we went to a little Mexican place. Obviously, no, it's not little by any stretch of the imagination. Nothing is small at Universal Studios. So we went to a place called Angelitos, and it was an experience in of itself. They had the mariachi folks, and the food was excellent. Michelle had a tequila drink that was out of this world. Michelle, what did you think about the food and the ambiance of the Mexican place?
It was pretty authentic. Me being from Central California, I definitely know the difference between Tex-Mex and authentic Mexican food. So I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was inviting. It was loud, bright, colorful, crowded, just like you would picture Mexico. So that was fun. The mariachi band was great. They played about 3 songs, did some birthday requests, and were done. So it wasn't in your face the whole time we were eating. You really don't care for Mexican food, but I think you enjoyed what you ordered.
Yeah, when I go to a Mexican place, I order fajitas and fries. I do not like rice or beans. I know, call me crazy, but that's not one of my favorite dishes for sure. But I really like fajitas. I had a great time. And just one tip, I know we talked about it at the top of the show. When you're at Volcano Bay, you still have to get back on the shuttle bus. And then, of course, a heck of a long way back to your car and all of that. So definitely bring a full change of clothes so you can change into those dry clothes at Volcano Bay. And that's what we did. We were very comfortable when we went to dinner. We were dry. We were happy. Everything worked out well. And remember,
well, we were dry except for the fact that we did get rained on.
Yep, but we were
waiting for our shuttle bus. We got rained on so hard waiting for our shuttle bus that it was almost not worth changing our clothes.
That is true, but at least we had dry underclothes, which was nice. And remember, guys, we are in our mid to late 40s, so this is not, you know, a teenager heading to a theme park. We're doing it as middle-aged adults, so we take our privileges very seriously in terms of what we do and what we pack. So we were very comfortable at the Mexican restaurant. We had a great time at City Walk. And as Michelle mentioned, City Walk is set up as an entertainment district for Universal, and it is part of the Orlando night scene. So they have Hard Rock there, Hard Rock Cafe. They have the chocolate place that we went to our second night there. They have the Blue Man Group. They have the movie theater. They have all the shops. And they do have something that people go absolutely crazy for. We did not stand in line for it because we had had it before in Denver, but people go crazy for the Voodoo Donuts, don't they?
Oh my God. Yes. At 9 o'clock at night, they'll stand in line for the Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah, so Voodoo Donuts.
I'm guessing that's the only place to get them in Orlando is at Universal at City Walk.
Yeah, I know that they have one in Orlando.
They have one in Denver, and they have one in Seattle.
Yep. So definitely check out City Walk when you're there. Go ahead.
But hold on. Dinner was fabulous. It was our last night to experience the park. At 8:35, we pay the bill. Robert grabs me by the hand and says, we gotta go. Well, I had dislocated my toe earlier in the day, so I couldn't walk very fast. But let's just say that he had us running back over to Universal to go to Diagon Alley one last time.
Yeah, I had thought during dinner that it would be cool to head back into Universal one more time. And Michelle had talked about picking up a souvenir over in the world of Harry Potter. And remember, we had watched all of the Harry Potter movies, every one of them, before our trip over to Universal. So she had to get a souvenir. And one thing that she did want was a notebook. She's a college student at UAA and going to start classes here real soon after our trip. So we literally run from City Walk all the way pretty much to the farthest.
It's about 2 miles.
All the way to the furthest point in Universal to Diagon Alley. It's 8:35. The park closes at 9. We're bobbing and weaving through all of the traffic. They're barricading streets for the fireworks display, but we finally make it over to Diagon Alley. Michelle runs in and gets her notebook.
While you're standing with a group of people facing the bank.
Facing the bank, and I get to see the dragon shoot out the fire right
in the dark, right at
sunset, and it was cool. It was a very cool experience. But Michelle jumped in into the store to get her notebook, and I said, Michelle, since we're here, I have to have one last butter beer.
Let's just put this into perspective. He's standing around with everybody else with their iPhones shooting up towards the dragon. I pop out of the store and I say, I got my notebook. And we're yelling at each other across all these people. He goes, get me a butter beer. So I run around the corner to the other street and get you a butter beer. And I'm trying to sneak off to get myself a chocolate frog, but I didn't get my chocolate frog.
So it's about 5 till 9. The park is just about ready to close. We work our way back out through the park and luckily missed all of the chaos with everybody leaving after the fireworks. We made it back to the car and back to the hotel by probably 10:30, just in time to get the next part of our adventure started. I know that we are coaster geeks, but we are here in Orlando to go to the Geek Conference of All Geek Conference podcast movement. And we had an excellent time there, and we may do a show about that in the future, because obviously this is a podcast and obviously we're going for a podcast conference. But Michelle, let's do what we do and wrap up Volcano Bay. And give us our rating. Remember, 1 is kind of eh, and 10 is an absolute bucket list park that we must go to or recommend to all of our friends and fans here. What do you think about Volcano Bay on our scale of 1 to 10?
I think that it's hard for me to give it a rating because that was really my first real park. My first water park. Theme wise, I thought it was great. We've been to Hawaii quite a few times because the tickets to Hawaii from Alaska are really cheap. So we get to fly there for less than $500 a person. I felt like we were at Waikoloa Village on the Big Island. That's what it felt like to me. So I would say theme wise, they hit the nail on the head. I'd probably give it an 8. But again, that's probably a skewed rating because of Pirate's Cove in Littleton, Colorado to compare it to?
I really liked Volcano Bay. And as I said in the show here, I've been to a lot of water parks in my day, everything from the really basic one slide and you're done parks all the way up to some really big parks at other theme parks, Six Flags and whatnot. I really liked it. It had a little bit of everything. Unfortunately, you cannot beat Mother Nature. We probably would have rode every ride there and probably would have stayed till closing time if weather would have been better.
We did have a 3-hour delay to get to the park. Because somebody's iPhone.
Because
issue.
Of the iPhone, so we didn't get there till noon. I would give this a solid 9 just because it truly is a water park of water parks. And I know that water parks are a big deal at a lot of theme parks now. I know Holiday World is really increasing their capacity on their water park this coming year. They're going to get their own version of a water coaster in 2020. And I know other parks are building many more attractions on the water side. And I think that is going to be the next wave of the theme park revolution. We will see, especially with these new water coasters. Hopefully we will be able to jump on one in the coming year. So yeah, I give it a solid 9, and we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll end up back in Orlando in a year or two, and we'll get to ride that water coaster. So that is our coverage of Volcano Bay. Anything you want to say in closing?
No, just, you know, when you go to these parks, if you're going to go, we typically don't go to a park for an entire day. We typically don't hit up a lot of the other rides, because when Robert and I do our rock and roller tours, we are literally driving between parks typically. So we'll hit up all the coasters, the log flume and the carousel, and then we're out. So if the park opens at 10, we're typically out by 2, and on the road to the next park for the next day's adventure. In this situation, this is one of the few times and one of the first times we actually went to a park system that was, they're all connected, they're right next door to each other, but we spent a day in each park, and that's not something that we normally do. So if you do plan to do a Universal trip, you need to plan to do the Universal trip. Don't plan to go to Orlando and do Universal and SeaWorld and Disney and all of the Disney stuff. You have to go for one set theme park.
Yeah, not
because we had done Universal, or we had done SeaWorld 2 years ago?
Yeah, we did SeaWorld 2 years ago, just a quick in and out when we landed in Orlando for a rock festival in Jacksonville. We were flying out from Orlando, so we decided, hey, let's go over to SeaWorld and ride Manta and all of that, and that was a lot of fun. But yeah, I don't think anybody could, I guess you could fit in Disney, Universal, and SeaWorld and Busch Gardens and all of that in the same time. But not only would it just be an absolutely exhausting experience, I think that you would have to take out a mortgage on your house.
Sell your car. Something like that.
It is very expensive in Orlando. Not only are the parks very expensive, but just everything around there is.
Well, and you heard us kind of complain about the cost of snacks. We complain about the cost of snacks because, again, we're in and out of the parks by 2 o'clock. So we never eat in the parks. Yep. We hardly ever even get the drinks in the park. In fact, the best value, if you guys go back and listen to a couple of episodes back, the best value was when we did the Six Flags tour and we got the drink cups, and we were actually allowed and able to use our season pass and our drink pass at all the parks that Six Flags has to offer. That was our best value. That going to those parks, I think the rides ended up being like $2.50 a ride instead of Universal, where the rides were almost $25 or more a ride.
Yeah, I always compare. I will always tell Michelle, okay, so the park was $350 a piece to get in. As I mentioned, we paid $750 or whatever for our Universal trip here, and I do it by ride. So I say, okay, Michelle, we're at $35 a ride. We're at $17 a ride. Thankfully,
you start off with, we're at $185 a ride. And yep. I'll say, ooh, we got to get hustling, because that's not the value we seek. We seek a value of between $15 and $30 a ride. We put the higher value ride price on rides that are newer or rides that we have anticipated to be that much more of a thrill.
Yep. So we had a great time on our 3-day tour of Universal Orlando. And as I mentioned, we're heading over to Podcast Movement. And then right after that is a trip across the state to Tampa, to Busch Gardens, Tampa Bay. That will be our next episode. And I hope you will join us for that one. And be sure to follow us over on social media, searching for us by Coaster Geeks Pod. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can also listen to our other podcasts. This podcast here is just for fun, but we do a really cool dog podcast called Dog Works Radio. Check us out there, and until next time, goodbye.